Hey, Jeffrey Craner here. We have some amazing merch in the Welcome to Night Vale store. We've got some basic Night Vale logo stuff like shirts, doormats, beach towels, pins, posters, and totes. And that's a fun way to tell the world, hey, I like the show and I want you to know about it. But we also have so much more than just logoed items. We've got quote shirts that have some of your favorite Night Vale sensibilities, like pain is just pain entering the body, all tattoos are temporary tattoos, kill your double, and anything is a pinata if you hit it hard enough. There's also beautiful and disturbing blankets designed by Jessica Hayworth, Akashic plushie, mugs, sticker packs, Big Rico's aprons, hoodies, jigsaw puzzles, spider wolves, baseball caps, Night Vale collars for dogs, bandanas for humans. We even have a challenge coin now, and of course, shorts that say creepy on the butt. Because butts can be creepy, and we should celebrate that. You can get Night Vale merch at welcometonightvale.com. Click on store. That's welcometonightvale.com. Click on store, and hey, thanks.
Hi, it's me, Joseph Fink, co-writer and creator of this podcast. Welcome to Night Vale. So, because of some scheduling issues that are too boring to get into here, we had to delay the episode that was planned for today. But do not worry, don't hit stop on this episode. We still have a special treat for you all. For years now, we've gotten emails asking us questions about the making of Night Vale and our favorite characters and what we think about this or that, and mostly we just don't have the time or energy to answer every single one of those, but I thought it would be cool today to take a few of the most interesting emails and give them the answers they deserve. So this first one is from Lucy in Claremont. Hi, Lucy. And she writes, "Hi, whoever this is. I don't know what you're getting at with this show or why you're claiming to write it. These are actual broadcasts from an actual town. I can hear it on my radio right now. How did you find this radio station? What do you know about Night Vale? And why are you pretending that you wrote any of this? I want answers." Okay, sorry, I didn't pick these emails out, actually. I know I kind of tried to make it sound like they were hand-selected, but our business manager, Joella, is the one who actually... But I should have vetted these. This is definitely a weird... I'm honestly not sure what to say about this one. Lucy left her phone number. I mean, I get that it's just a joke, but you know, it might be interesting to call her. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do it. Hold on.
Hello?
Oh, hi. Oh, wow. I didn't know anyone picked up anymore with all that. Anyway, is this Lucy from Claremont?
Who is this?
Right, yeah, okay. This is Joseph Fink with Welcome to Night Vale. You wrote in, and thank you, but I was a little confused.
Oh, so you're the ones passing that work off as your own.
But it is our work. I've been writing it since...
Look, I don't know what your deal is, but I've been listening to broadcasts from Night Vale for decades.
Decades?
Yeah, on the radio. You know, like podcasts, but hosted in the atmosphere.
What's the frequency?
They don't come on any specific frequency. They just sometimes find me when I'm listening to something else. Joe Frank on KCRW, Stained on K-Rock back when that was a sentence that made sense. The normal signal wavers, and then static, and then Cecil. Is that how it works for you?
No, because we're a podcast. I wrote these episodes, and we've never licensed them for radio.
I don't know why you called me just to keep up the charade. I was excited to hear from someone else who knew about the show, but if you're just gonna keep lying...
I don't think I'm lying. Lucy? Lucy, she hung up. I don't feel like I have any better handle on what's happening here, but I'm gonna reach out to Cecil. Cecil Baldwin narrates our show, lives in Brooklyn, is an actor, you know? So I'm gonna call him, see what he thinks about this.
Hi, you've reached Cecil Baldwin. I don't really listen to my voicemails, but go ahead and leave one.
Hey, Cecil. It's Joseph. Just have kind of a weird issue going on. Nothing to worry about, but give me a call. I'll just text you. That's what people do. Never mind. Don't bother listening to this. I'll just text you. Let me call Jeffrey Craner. That's my co-writer. We write the show together because it's a fictional show. It's not real. They're all scripts, and then actors read the scripts.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, this is going to sound weird. Did you see the email from Lucy yesterday? It was sent to our info@nightville address.
Lucy.
That's the one.
Yeah, let me see. Aha. Hi, whoever this is, I don't know what you're getting at. Actual broadcast from an actual town. Why are you pretending? Yeah, I don't know. It's just a weird fan email. We get those sometimes. Probably don't respond, I'd say.
I called her.
Okay.
So she insists that she can hear the broadcasts on her radio and that Night Vale is real.
But it's not.
No, I know. You know what? This was silly. Sorry for bothering you. Tell your cats hi.
Oh, I will tell them that right now. Reba, Barry, Carol, Uncle Joseph says hi.
Okay. So I'm just like Googling Night Vale, which usually comes up with a picture of, I don't know, our books or our live shows or fan art. Top result is our website usually, but that's not okay. That's not what I'm seeing. Town of Night Vale, population, founding date, Wikipedia link? The city itself has a Wikipedia page. It's pretty extensive. There are user pics of Grove Park and the Moonlight All Night Diner. And okay, hold on. I'm gonna Google the Moonlight All Night Diner. It has a Yelp listing. Ouroboros Road, Night Vale, open 24 hours, 4.3 stars with 267 reviews. Luann says, you have to try the invisible pie. It's just an empty plate, and also it's delicious. None of this stuff was here before. There was a fan wiki, I think. Where did the fan wiki go? I'm clicking on our own site, welcome to nightvale.com, and it's a page for a Burger King in Toledo, Ohio. There's a close-up picture of a deep fryer, weird choice, and a notice that they're hiring. I think our site got hacked. That's a thing, right? Burger King hacking podcast sites. I think I heard about that on All Things Considered. I'm going to call Cecil Baldwin again. Obviously, he's the actor reading the scripts, so he knows that it is fake, and it would be helpful, I think, right now, for me, to hear that. I don't know. I don't need an excuse. I'm just going to...
Hi, you've reached Cecil. I don't listen to my voicemails, but go ahead and leave one.
That's okay. I'll call him later. He'll be available later. It's just so... So I've been writing Welcome to Nightville scripts since early 2012. I started out writing this paragraph about lights above the Arby's, and it just felt right, and I kept following that feeling. I was 25 years old when I wrote that first little bit of Nightville. So if Nightville is real, if these are actual broadcasts from a small desert town, then what have I been writing? Who am I? Where do I fit in this reality? You know, these aren't small questions. It's not a small thing finding out that your fiction is just real now, I guess. Could I go visit Night Vale? No, I wouldn't. I mean, I couldn't. Oh, wait. The Delta app shows there are direct flights from JFK to the Randy Newman Memorial Night Vale Airport. No, I wouldn't. Hey, Jeffrey, what's up?
So I've been doing some digging, and well, I think I know what's going on.
Okay, great. I'm really glad someone does.
Night Vale is real now.
It became real.
Well, it's always been real. It's a town in the Southwest, a very, very weird town, and it exists and always has, but that wasn't the case even yesterday.
If I'm honest, it's not making a ton of sense to me.
Well, that's because it's simultaneously super confusing and completely simple. Night Vale was never real, and then one day it was always real. It went from fiction to nonfiction, and when that happened, its entire history became nonfiction too, and so it always existed.
I do not know how to react to that.
Yeah, it's wild. Hey, did you see the expense report Joella sent?
I have not looked at it yet. So what does that mean for us? I mean, if we wrote this fiction, and now this fiction is real, does that mean... are we gods? Are we in danger?
Never was great on theology, but both of those are possible. I mean, I'd say danger is more likely than us suddenly being divine. Carol! No! I'm sorry, Carol has learned that she can climb curtains now.
That cat's a real bowl of mashed potatoes.
She used to be when she was a kitten. Now she's more of a teenage dirtbag.
I am... sorry, I'm still extremely caught up on this Night Vale is real now thing. Do you know if Cecil's okay? Our Cecil?
I'm not sure. No! Sorry, Carol's acting out. I have to go.
Oh, bye. So... this seems a good time to try Cecil again. He probably was just a little busy. It's usually a busy time of year for him, I think. Probably didn't see my calls yet. I'll just... give me one moment.
The number you dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again.
El número que marcó no está en servicio. Verifíquelo.
What the f... I don't... okay. Okay. Sorry, I'm just gonna pause this recording for a bit. I'm gonna drive down to Cecil's apartment. It's a couple hours. I need to understand what's happening. I will be back in a moment. This is just one of those things. You ever had one of those days that's a day, you know? It's just a day, capital A, capital D. In the meantime, here's a song I like.
Days. I find myself on the freeway, driving so fast the trees wave when I blow past them. I've nearly wrecked when the DJ quits playing my favorite hits, cause I was changing the station quick, let's face it. What does it really mean if I let your song play to the end and never feel a thing? Me, I've got illumination on time release, headed straight to the 87 off I-90 East. Life is great. Looks like I'm making the right mistakes. On my shit like Nate Diaz at fighting weight. Can't drop the ball for light work and them high skirts and tight shirts at the shopping mall. I might flirt with a slight smirk and not at all. Surrender the foolish hooligan to pursue what I'm truly meant to do with my full intent. In past recollection is clear, my peers were too distracted getting hits and cracking beers to perfect the craft all those years. Still they know that I care. I'm showing up there when America Airlines can lower the fare. Here's the second tries, cheers to a better life. If you'll excuse me, I was clearing names on my phone I don't recognize. It's past due for making a change, start anew. Hard to do, fixated on pain. When the brain's a pores washing away, any fame and glory, and many who came before me, same old story, just painted poorly. Hues of blue over shades of green, never jaded. Jade is one of the greatest shades of green. I mean, I'm easily amazed with the way sun rays seem to break the leaves as if to create laser beams. How it sways and leans in the breeze, sweeping the landscape like waves of a stream. Of all the breathtaking scenery that I've seen in nature's kingdom, these are a few of my favorite things. However, true with the subtle accents of a raven's wing. Here's the second try. Misunderstood, and there I stood under a burden. Judgment unto what I heard, cause my slumber was stirred. Life is finite, my entire life I have yet to be disenchanted, admiring the fireflies at twilight by night. I wrote this next to a windowsill, upon which a whippoorwill sits so still. The pain, it's merely a cheap frame of a picture on which a tree stands between me and the Hudson River. I wish to see threefold of my complete view at the top floor, but I don't need to, not anymore. I'm content with the deep blue glimmer that sneaks through. Somehow, as if they renew, can this be true? The DJ quit playing my favorite hit, so let's face it, change the station. Here's the second tries, cheers to a better life. Nothing quite re-energizes like a farewell to the petty lies. Here's the second tries. Cheers to a better life.
Okay. I went to Cecil's apartment. There was no answer in the bell, but the front door was open, so I went upstairs and I knocked. There was nothing again. It was unlocked, so I went inside. On the other side of the door was a back hallway of a restaurant, it looked like. White tile, white walls, a door that said storeroom, three bathrooms, you know, the usual. So I went down the hallway, and I was calling for Cecil, just like, "Hey, Cecil, you there?" And I was in a diner, and there were all these people looking at me. A woman walked up. She had a name tag that said Laura, and she had branches growing out of her chest and her arms and her neck. And that sounds whimsical, but I want you to imagine the reality of that. The strange rough skin where the flesh meets bark and the way it twists up out of the body. It was a lot to try to wrap my head around. This woman, Laura, asked me, "Are you looking for Cecil? He's not here right now. He's usually at the radio station." So I thanked her and I stumbled out. It's sunset right now where I am in this small desert town. The wind is hot and it smells like honey and mud. There is a loud thumping sound as a black helicopter flies overhead, disappearing into the last of the sunlight behind the mountains. Man walks up. He is covered in microphones, more microphone than man, and he says, "Interloper, what are you doing here?" And I say, "I don't know how I got here. I don't understand what is happening." And he nods sympathetically and says, "This is common." The whole time, he is furiously scribbling down notes in a notepad, and blinking red recording lights flash over his body like a city scene from an overnight flight. "I have to go," I say, and I start running. And that's where I am now, running down this road in a desert town I invented. I'm passing by a strip mall where there is a Big Rico's Pizza, and I made up that name. I made up that name, and here it is. Sign in the window. Now serving wheat and wheat byproducts. But what's in the kitchen doesn't look like wheat. That looks... Oh my god. Oh god. Okay. Keep moving. Next door, there is a laboratory. In bright and buzzing neon lights, it says, "Carlos's Lab. Science while you wait." And then another big neon sign of a guy in a lab coat, and his legs does a high kick in a repeating animation. It's kinda cute, actually. There's police tape all over the door, lots of signs saying, "Warning, science," and "Curiosity forbidden." Lots of old police tape peeling and layered on top of each other. Down the road, I can see the Desert Flower Bowling Alley and Arcade Fun Complex. Looks like it's really hopping tonight. Guess that's where everyone is. Parking lot full of cars and government agents taking down the license plate numbers of the vehicles and then giving the slips of paper to birds who fly away to make nests with them. And, oh. There's the radio station. That's not how I imagined. It's a windowless concrete structure. Looks abandoned, weather-beaten, cursed by God. It looks like no human being has breathed within it for 1,000 years. I guess I'm going in. I'm at the door. It's chained shut, but the lock has rusted off. I'm pulling out the chains. I'm opening the door. It smells like malt and dust. There's no lights on. It doesn't seem like there's any power. I see a door that says station management. I hear movement inside, but I'm not going to go in there, obviously. The door is warm. It's hot, actually. Ow! Well, I guess this has been listener questions. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. Sorry I couldn't get to all of you. Let's do one more, just to round out the episode. Martine asks, What was the most fun episode to make? Great question, Martine. There's so many. What was that? What was that? Sorry. I thought I saw, but it was nothing. There's no one else in here. It's dark and abandoned. Well, Martine, I liked making episode 67, Best Of. That was fun. And episode 71, The Registry of Middle School Crushes. That was a good time to write. Thanks for your email. Thanks for listening. That was nothing. There was nothing behind me. Because nothing looks like that. Hold on. I hear someone talking. Hello? I see a light on. I think it might be the booth. Cecil?
I hope all of you out there have someone to sleep through it with. Or at least good memories of when you did. Good night, Night Vale. Good night.
Welcome to Night Vale is a production of Night Vale Presents. It is written by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner and produced by Disparition. The voice of Joseph was Joseph Fink. The voice of Lucy was Julia Morizawa. The voice of Jeffrey was Jeffrey Craner. Carol is a bowl of mashed potatoes. The voice of Night Vale is Cecil Baldwin. Original music by Disparition. All of it can be found at disparition.bandcamp.com. This episode's song Joseph liked was Hey by Standpoint, featuring Lady Daisy River. Find out more at soundcloud.com/standpoint-1. Comments, questions, email us at info@welcometonightvale.com or follow us on Twitter at Night Vale Radio. Or eat a garlic scape you foraged from the side of the road. Check out welcometonightvale.com for info about our live streamed performance of All Hail, which is tonight. But you can watch it at any point over the next month. And you know what? You should. Today's proverb, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But then, there is also a light at the end of an anglerfish's tendril.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Craner, and I wanted to tell you about one of my other podcasts, Random Number Generator Horror Podcast Number 9. So the thing is, my friend Cecil Baldwin, the voice of Night Vale, loves horror movies, and he's helping make the genre more approachable for me, and hopefully for you too, one film at a time in a random order. Are you squeamish about horror movies? Look, I get it, and no worries. Just listen in and we'll tell you everything that happens. But do you love horror movies? Well, that's great too. Watch along with us each week. We've got nearly 200 episodes covering everything from The Shining to Leprechaun 4 in Space. I'm serious, we go in a random order. So check out Random Horror 9 wherever you get podcasts.